what is at stake in Pakistan? It's possibly the most important strategic relationship of the Barack Obama presidency. What's at stake there was stated very, very succinctly by the president speaking at the White House yesterday.
And we must do more than stand against those who would destroy Pakistan. We must stand with those who want to build Pakistan. And that is why I've asked Congress for sustained funding to build schools and roads and hospitals. I want the Pakistani people to understand that America is not simply against terrorism. We are on the side of their hopes and their aspirations.
Well, the hopes and aspirations of the Pakistani people in the city of Mingori, which is the largest city in the Swat Valley, might not be with the United States at this point. They might not even be with the Pakistani government at this point, because thousands of Pakistanis are fleeing in the Swat Valley, escaping from battles unfolding between the Pakistani military and the Taliban. It's a 50-mile arc northwest of the Pakistani capital, Islamabad, and it may represent, depending on how things develop over the next few days, the biggest refugee exodus Pakistan has seen since partition. Mark Dummett joins us. He's the BBC reporter in Islamabad. Mark, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
And we also go now to Geneva, Switzerland, where Ron Redmond, the chief spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, joins us. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Ron, what are you seeing in terms of the refugee situation, particularly, and what are the conditions for refugees? We have tens of thousands already fleeing in the battlefield areas in Bunir and Mingora and other areas of the Swat Valley.
I heard from one of our teams who are in Mardan, which is just on the fringes of the conflict area. They say that people are indeed streaming out in very large numbers, exact numbers as yet unknown. They're coming from inside Swat. A journey that had previously taken about 2 hours by road is now taking 4 hours just because of the sheer number of people and vehicles on the road fleeing the area. So it's a huge number of people coming out, and they're joining a very, very large number of people who were already displaced in that region last year, some 555,000. So if you've got another 500,000 coming, as some people are predicting, it's going to be very, very large.
If there are 500,000 coming, is there any sort of facility infrastructure available for them, and where are they likely to end up?
Well, a lot of people, when they flee and fled previously, stay with relatives, friends, family. In fact, we have about 93,000 people who are now staying in 11 camps that are supported by the UN Refugee Agency. Those are people who fled last year, but there are another 462,000 in the area who are living with host families and rental accommodation and so on. But the more people who flee, the more people who are displaced, the less chances that they're going to find some place to move into. So that's going to be a problem. And we're rushing aid supplies, tents, everything we can get into that region to be prepared.
And the refugees are rushing that much faster. Overcrowded camps and difficult infrastructure in the middle of a war zone, essentially in the Swat Valley. Ron Redmond, chief spokesperson for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Thanks for joining us from Geneva, Switzerland. Mark Dummett, BBC reporter in Islamabad. It appears as though this refugee situation is yet another sign of the lack of credibility or questionable credibility of the Zardari government in Pakistan. Is it safe to say that the Swat Valley is lost to this government and possibly Northwest Frontier Province with it?
Well, actually, I think it's the opposite of that, really. The people are fleeing because the army has made it very clear that they aren't prepared to leave the Swat Valley to the Taliban. They're basically going to start an offensive to recapture this part of northern Pakistan in the coming days. And they've let the population know that, and they've told the people there to get out so that they're not killed in the battle. So actually this is an attempt by the Zardari government to reassert its authority over Pakistan and to deal some kind of blow to the Taliban. Now, the question then will be whether they're capable of doing it, because in the past they might have been able to beat the Taliban in a fight, but the Taliban have always come back stronger. So this isn't really, I wouldn't say a sign of weakness, but a sign that they're trying to reassert their strength.
Well, it's also a sign that they're all in. If you ask 500,000 people to move because you're going to eliminate their enemy, you better do it, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. And, I mean, this has come after sort of 2 years in which the army has unsuccessfully been taking on the Taliban in Swat. And during those, where in particular, there were two campaigns really to beat the Taliban there. And on both occasions, a lot of civilians, hundreds of civilians were killed and houses destroyed. The Taliban were never defeated. So the people just said, look, enough's enough. We've got to negotiate with the Taliban. That's the only way we're going to have peace in this area and we can get our lives back to normal. So in February, the government agreed to this peace deal with the Taliban.
And let's just remind people that peace deal involved the imposition of Sharia law in the Swat Valley. I'm guessing that deal is completely off the table, no matter what happens on the battlefield. And as you say, it's coming to a head in Mingora, the largest city in Bunir.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think that deal is pretty much over. And we heard this morning that the son of Sufi Muhammad, the Islamist cleric who brokered that deal, was killed in a bombardment. The deal was dead before that, to be honest, though, as well. When we heard that the Taliban were using their position of strength in Swat to take over neighbouring areas. And then there were these series of extraordinarily strong comments out of Washington from Hillary Clinton, General Petraeus, and President Obama as well, who all said that this was a sign of the weakness of the government. Clinton said that the Zardari had basically abdicated to the Taliban, that Pakistan could fall. Of course, this is a nuclear-powered country, a nuclear-armed country, so raising the prospect that the militants could take over the nukes as well. Well, of course, most Pakistanis don't believe that. This is still very much in the mountains. It's not in the heartland of Pakistan yet. But certainly the pressure's been mounting on the government to do something about the Taliban. And sure enough, Zardari goes to Washington to meet Obama. And at the same time, his army is getting ready to go back into Swat.
Even higher stakes than we had imagined. The government now has to demonstrate that militarily it can defeat the Taliban, because the diplomatic option is off the table. Mark Dummett, BBC reporter in Islamabad, thanks so much for all that detail.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.